Okay. This morning we'll be in chapter 8. We'll continue on the teaching of Isaiah. Verse 1, "Moreover the Lord said to me, take you a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning May, Her, Shall, Al, Hash, Ba." How's that? Ba's. I said it in syllables, and I don't know how to say it any other way. Okay. "And I took to me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest, and Zechariah the son of Jaberechiah." Whatever.
Jaber.
Jaber, yeah, that'll work. "And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. And then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher Shal Al Hash Baz." Okay? Whatever. "For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Now the Lord spoke unto me again, saying, forasmuch as his people refuses the waters of Shiloh that go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord brings upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his banks, channels, and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah, and he shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and you shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both of the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him, and behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwells in Mount Zion. And when they shall say to you, seek to them that have familiar spirits and to wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek to their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." We'll go back and look at this. And I want to prepare a verse here. I want to get a verse ready to read. Okay. Back to the first verse. Again, Isaiah speaking. Now, when Isaiah was speaking, was it really Isaiah?
No, it was the Christ.
It was the Christ in him. Okay, and I'll show you a point where you can see it, okay, in the later part of the chapter. It says, "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take to you a great tablet and write upon it," not in it, but upon it, "with a man's pen concerning this big long name." Do you know what that name means? Swift is the enemy to the booty and the prey. What do you think that is?
Stuff.
Well, no, but what is this? What is this one? The swift to the swift is the enemy. What's the enemy?
The carnal mind.
The carnal mind. It'll take all the booty and all the prey.
It clutters up your mind.
Clutters you up so bad you can't think and gets you thinking the wrong way and you do all kinds of crazy things. That's why the world's so messed up. Okay? In verse 2 it says, "And I took to me faithful witnesses to record." Uriah's name means what?
Prophet.
Yahweh is my light and fire. He's my light and my fire. He was a priest. And Zechariah, the son of Jabir, but Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. God remembers. And Jabir Ichaiah, his name means blessed by Yahweh. So he took three faithful witnesses. Or actually, I'd say two. He just said Zechariah was the son of the other one. He took two faithful witnesses, and everything's established in the mouth of what?
Two or three
witnesses. Okay? 2 Corinthians 13:1, and there's many other places that it says that too. There's a whole bunch of them. Okay, and he said, then he goes on, he says, I went unto the prophetess. So he had a relationship with a prophetess. And she conceived and bare a son. So when he said, I went into, we know that there was something much more than that, right? Okay, we've got that figured out. There was a relationship there, physical. And then said the Lord to me, call his name, that big long name, the same one that had in the first verse, okay? It's hard to say it, so I'll just let it go. You can read it if you can. Because before the child or the boy knows, not shall have knowledge, but knows to what? Call out, father or mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria, right? Shall be taken away before them. Now, he's saying Damascus literally speaks of, it says Sidon as a sackcloth weaver, speaks of humility or death. It'll all be taken away. And I think it's about the humility. And Samaria speaks of a watch station or protection shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Okay? So he says this other king's going to come in and wipe them out. Going to take away all the protection, all their humility, all everything they got.
Is it still relating though to what's already in the child's mind?
It's already there. It's what God already placed within him. And didn't the book say in Ephesians that he chose us before the foundation of the world? Another place it says that it were written in our hearts before the foundation of the world. And the Lord spoke to me saying again, for as much, and this word for as much as, this is not a good word. It should say, pay attention because this people rejects the waters of Shiloh. See? It should say, pay attention because, not for as much as, but pay attention because this people not refuses but rejects the waters. What is the waters?
Word.
It's the words of Shiloh. And Shiloh means scent, a branch, or a sprout. That's the root of it. And what is it literally? Christ. He was the branch, he was the sprout, and he was scent, wasn't he? So we're talking about Christ. So they refuse the waters of Christ that go softly, and they rejoice in resin, which means firm, Remaliah's son. And now what does Remaliah's son mean?
I'm not sure, but I would think that they would rejoice in their own self.
Well, they were rejoicing in firm in herself, but Remaliah means protected by Yahweh. So even, and this goes back to Genesis chapter 1, where while they were in darkness, he protected their minds, right? While they were in darkness in Genesis chapter 1.
He's telling you just to watch these people.
Yeah, watch them. He said, you can watch them, but don't be like them. Okay, don't be like them. He goes on and says that. He said, you can watch them, and but they're rejoicing in their own stuff and not in God. Look at verse 7. Now there, behold, the Lord brings upon them the waters of the river. Okay, that's the Nile or the Euphrates, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall, what? Come up beyond his limits. When it says over all of his banks, it should say come beyond his limits, and he shall pass through Judah, and he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach to the neck. Means he's going to do away with all the body. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of your land. See, thy land, O Emmanuel. Whose land is this? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And Emmanuel, what does it mean? No, that's the teaching of it. God within us. not God with us. God doesn't walk beside of us. God walks in us.
Even though the strong says God with us.
I understand that.
I understand it's within.
Because God dwells within. I'm just telling you, I know God isn't walking beside of me.
Right.
God doesn't sit in the seat next to me. He sits in my seat. Okay? Or I'm sitting in his seat, whichever way you want it. But it's God within us. So he says, so he's telling you, don't worry about it, because he's going to pass through and go over, but God's wings will fill the breadth of your land, O God, with us, within us. He said, then verse 9, he goes on and says, associate yourself, O you people. And that's not exactly what it says. It should say, be evil, O you people. Where it says, associate yourselves, it should say, be evil, O you people, and you shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all you far countries, gird yourselves and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourself and you shall be broken in pieces. Or literally, be frustrated, right? Take counsel together and it shall come to naught. Speak the word of God and it shall not, the word and it shall not stand, because God is within us. So you can do anything you want to. You can prophesy against us. You can do all the things you want to do, but that's not going to change what God's going to do. What we've talked about all morning, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
God's going to do what he wants, and there's nothing going to change that. If anybody could change anything that God had planned from the foundations of the world, then they're God, aren't they? If they can change what God's doing, they're really God. Wouldn't you agree? If they can change God's plans, then they're stronger than God. And that's where the church puts themselves today. If I just ask God, he'll do what I said. But the guy in the other chair right across from is praying something totally opposite of what they're praying, but they both want the same thing and think they're going to get it.
That kind of sparks democratic stuff right now.
It's about that, yeah. God's not a Democrat or a Republican. He's not even an American. I know that'll shock some people, but that's okay. They might need to be shocked. God is spirit, and he sees us as no respecter of persons, so he sees us all as equals, doesn't he? We're all his sons. Some are obedient, some are disobedient. That's all there is to it. Verse 11, because the Lord spoke to me thus with a strong hand and instructed me. Now, when it said instructed me that I should not live in the course of life of this people. Now, how did he instruct him? Because it's in the language. It's not there in this English, but it's in the Hebrew language. And it should say, when he instructed me, it should say, through chastisement and correction. Through chastisement and correction, he instructed me. You leave out those little details, it does change things, doesn't it? It says, saying, say ye not a confederacy or an alliance to all whom this people shall say an alliance. Okay? Neither fear ye the terror nor the dread. Don't fear anything they got to try to scare you with. They can threaten you, but don't worry about it. They can do nothing without God's approval, can they?
Touch it.
Doesn't the book say you can do nothing without me? Didn't Jesus say that? You can do nothing. And that was the Christ within. They can do nothing without his approval. People who think they can do that's only walking in arrogance and pride. Verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. So he didn't say sanctify your church, sanctify your organization, sanctify your Pentecostal, Passover, or anything else, did he? He didn't say sanctify anything but the Lord of hosts himself. And let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. The only thing to worry about, and it's not a worry, it's not a fear, it's a reverence. The only thing to reverence is God. Don't worry about the rest of them. Verse 14, he goes on and says, and he shall be a sanctuary, but for a stone to strike, not stumbling, but that word stumbling should be a stone to strike. You remember what happened to him in the desert? When God said to Moses, go talk to the stone, what did he do?
He
went and struck him. Because that's exactly what the people did to him when he actually came forth as flesh, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And for a rock of stumbling, the second one down, a rock of offense should be stumbling to both the houses of Israel. What are both of the houses of Israel? Passover and Pentecost. It says, for a net or a snare, you know, a noose for the nose, and for for a net and for a noose, a hook for the nose to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem speaks of a duality, and that's Passover, your Passover and Pentecostal experiences of your life. There's nothing wrong with Passover. There's nothing wrong with Pentecost. And I wish people could hear me say this. They don't believe. They think I'm this one-sided, and I'm saying you have to come to this place. Anything else, you're going to hell. I never said that. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with Passover. There's nothing wrong with Pentecost. But there is a third covenant.
Those are experiences.
There's a star covenant. There's a third day. There's nothing wrong with the first or second days. But don't stay there. Come on. Keep going.
Yeah,
grow to the fullness that in your capacity that God wants you to come to. And if your capacity is in the first or second day, bless God, that's where you should be. I'm not trying to tell you to go someplace you're not supposed to be. I'm trying to get you to see that there's a purpose for everybody to be where they're supposed to be. Verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and be caught. That's the ones in the first 2 days. He said many in those first 2 days will be snared and taken, right? Now, what about the ones that don't, that aren't snared and taken? You think they're going to be in the first two houses?
No.
See, they're going to go on. That's why they're not snared. If you stay there, you're going to be. Didn't it say that woe to the inhabitants of the earth? Didn't it say in the scriptures of the Old Testament that the dust of the field was the serpent's food? The dust and the sand, the first two are the ones that you get snared in. There's where the biting comes. There's where the serpent is. But Isaiah says there's a higher way where the lion can't walk and the vultures can't even fly. There's a higher way. And that's the one I'm talking about. That's that third day, that star covenant seated in the heavenlies that Paul talked about, said we already are seated in the heavenlies. But look at the verse 16. Now here's the rest of them. Bind up the testimony, and it literally says the prophetic injunctions. Seal the law in, not among, but in my disciples, my disciplined ones. He said seal up the law and the prophetic injunctions in them. Do you know what that means? It was written in your heart from way before anybody even thought about it. It was already placed there. It's bound there. It's sealed there. And then he says in verse 17, and here's where I hear the Christ. And I will wait upon the Lord that hides his presence from the house of Jacob. And I will what? Look for him or wait for him. It should say wait for him is what the language should say. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 17? Father, protect them that you have given me. I've lost none that you have given me, except for Judas. Right? He kept all the other disciples, didn't he? He said, and I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for what? Signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells where? Mount Zion, third day, star covenant. Hello. Isn't that what it's saying? In John 17:6, he talked about the ones that he had given him. John 4:48, Hebrews 2:3-4. All talk about the same area there we were just talking about in this verse. In verse 19, I want to read from the New American Standard. And the King James says, and when they shall say to you, seek to them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek to their God for the living to the dead? Now the NAS says it this way, and when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? The King James twists it around there. Why are you going to talk to somebody that's dead about somebody who's living? Where should you be talking?
To the life, to the God,
okay? King James sometimes really butchers things. But that's okay. We're supposed to study it out ourselves. Verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not this word, it is because there is what? No light in them. Do you realize how many people are speaking today in the realm of what they call church, organized religion, that have no light whatsoever? They've been doing it for a lifetime and they never change. I appreciate every experience I've had. And I've had a lot of bad experiences through religion.
It's a career to them. It's not a course of life.
Absolutely. It's a career. It's a job. It's not life, like you said. It's not a course in life. And this journey we take is a course in life. And it's so amazing. If you would say there's no light in them, they'd cut your head off for you. But yet, there's no light in them. They've been doing it for 30 years, and there's still no more life than there was when they started. Still death. Because seed produces like kind. If God has not germinated that seed in that person, how can they give you anything other than the carnality they have? The carnal mind is what? Death. So if all I have is a carnal mind, that's all I have to give you. Right? And who needs more carnal mind than you started with? That's funny to me, because, I mean, my God. But they don't even see it. I understand, they don't even see it. But there's no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead. Literally, it should say, with difficulty. They'll pass through with difficulty. You know the church people's always having difficulty. But you know what? We all are having difficulties, aren't we? But how do you deal with it?
Blame it on the devil.
See? You blame it on the devil? That tells me right where you're at. You've got difficulties.
Yeah.
See, you're blaming it on somebody else. Remember what I read on the board this morning? The three R's of life: respect for self, respect for others, and a responsibility for all your actions. If anybody will live by that right there, this won't be hard. Take responsibility for your life. Quit blaming somebody external for what you did internal. Everything you do starts internally. You think about it, and then you do it. Or maybe you don't think about it voluntarily, but involuntarily you do it inside. It all comes from inside. But anyway, it says in verse 21, and they shall pass through it with difficulty and hungry. And it shall come to pass when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves. And that's not what it literally says. It should say that they will burst out in rage and curse their king and their God and look upward. They're going to look up and curse God for their hunger and their troubles. And who caused it? See, they can't accept responsibility for their own actions.
They're looking at external things.
Everything's external.
Pointing the finger
at somebody else. And they shall look into the earth. They shall look to the earth. Instead of looking to God, they look to the earth. See, they curse God and look to the earth. And behold, trouble. You know what that word trouble means? I think it's cute. It means a female rival. Your soul. See, they look back into themselves, and they see that there's, and they have a trouble with themselves, and darkness, that's ignorance and misery, and dimness of anguish, it should say gloom of distress, and they shall be driven into darkness and misfortune, it should say. You know why? Because they did it to themselves.
Well, they're still thinking in that carnal.
External way of thinking instead of internal. You've got to take everything in this book, not parts of it. And I mean, I know that's where we all start. We start to see some things internal, but we have to realize that the entire book is internal. If God lives in you, then we don't worry about anything external. We just live with whatever we've got to do, do it, and go on with life.
Well, isn't the scroll that he told Isaiah to take
the
right on?
With himself?
Yeah.
Right? With a man's pen, right on it. See, that's a natural thing. Yeah.
Let these two others be the witness of it that's within you. Let them be that witness.
Absolutely. See, like I say, you know, sometimes some of these chapters will be difficult and hard to understand, but when you get involved in it and start digging in it, there's good things here we need to understand. And it's not like it's a new revelation, but it's a reinforcing of what's already there. And we need those reinforcements, multiple points of reinforcement.
All you're doing is plowing it back up again.
You know, when the more you work at soil, the better condition it is to receive the seed, isn't it? So, not a big issue.
It's in there, you're just turning the soil.
Just turning the soil up so you can get that seed to sprout, germinate, and bring forth fruit.
You're
pulling out the weeds.
Yep, every time you cultivate, you're killing more of the weeds, right? It's okay. It's a process.
The weeds will choke out the...
Yes, they will. Parable of the sower. If you don't do some working, if you don't cultivate it, the weeds will take over, choke everything out.